A huge shakeup at Xbox means that the leaders are leaving and fresh faces are entering. Plus, the Nintendo Switch Online's Virtual Boy emulator is out, and it's just like it was in the 1990s. Tonight is February 22nd, 2026, and the Bobby Blackwell Show featuring your calls and chat comments is up next. So you would say even if... Okay, I'll let you go. You talk. Wow, what happened to your voice? Thank you, Skype. So video games, that's what the show is about.
This is Edwin Akeriper from Sweden.
And what's with all the Halo hate, Bob? You've been hating on Halo a lot lately.
I just don't like shooters. I'm not saying it's a bad game, I just don't like it. Billy O.K. says he can't be seen in public playing games that aren't hardcore. What would people say? And what up, G and Chad is once again talking about wrestling. That's why. It's not because they hate the fans. It's more because they have to start from scratch.
Hogwash later.
From a little room in Atlanta, Georgia, Bobby Blackwolf.
I am so all out of sorts. I couldn't hear myself in the beginning, but I think y'all did. I just got home. That's what happens. Hello, everybody, and welcome to a Just Got Home edition of the Bobby Blackwell Show, where we discuss the current news affecting the video game industry, as well as sometimes reminisce about gaming's history. Boy, we got some news this week that I did not expect to have to cover this week, because I was like, I've got fun stuff to talk about. The video game industry is like, here, have this. And by the way, you're busy this weekend, so you can't actually like do that much research about it. So that's why I have a podcast, right? So I can just like say things that may or may not have basis in reality. Isn't that what we all do, fellow podcasters out there? Anyway, welcome to the Bobby Blackwell Show. This is where we discuss the current news affecting the video game industry, as well as sometimes reminisce about gaming history. My name is Bobby Blackwolf. If you're joining us here live on this Sunday night, welcome. Thank you so much for being here. We do try to tape this show live just about each and every Sunday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, over at the Voice of Geeks Network Twitch channel, twitch.tv/VogNetwork, although we are a little bit started about like 5 minutes late today. Sorry about that. So that's where you can find us on Sunday nights. But if you can't be here, I understand this is a podcast after all. You can join our Discord server, vognetwork.com/discord. And I will say that there's nothing that you need to be age verified in our server to access. We are an all ages server, so you don't need to hand over any information to any companies that begin with P to be able to access our server. But if that is a deal breaker for you, I understand. I too am sad that individual forums went away, but also I am not sad that our forums that were on vognetwork.com for the longest time, old software and very much hacked. So I kind of basically like really locked them down. Because we almost got kicked off of our hosting provider for having that. But that's how us admins log into the website, is through that. And I haven't fixed that yet. So we don't have individual forums like we used to. So we do still use Discord. But if you are against Discord in general, I also completely understand. You can find me on Blue Sky and Instagram and talk with other people there. So let's talk about some of the stuff that I'm excited about this week before we get into kind of the possible downer stuff. I played a lot of board games this weekend. I was at a convention called Dice and Diversions. It is a small, about, you know, maybe I want to say if they had 1,000 people throughout the weekend, that'd be amazing. I am very bad at estimating how many people were there at places. That is not my forte. But, it was good. So it was basically we were just all like sat around and we played board games. Either people brought their own board games or you could rent like board games out from a library, or you could even check out board games. And if you played them, you were entered to win that game. And it's kind of a pastiche. I'm going to use the term pastiche here, and I know that's a big word. It's something that is kind of like something else. It is a take on something else. These are the same people that do Southern Fried Gaming Expo, which is a convention that the Voice of Geeks Network actually is a partner of. We sponsored them. That's the word I was looking for. We're a sponsor. And it's the same people. And the Southern Fried Gaming Expo is a pastiche of California Extreme, which it was a pinball arcade game room. It used to be the Southern Fried Game Room Expo. But it was a pastiche of California Extreme. It was supposed to bring the California Extreme experience to the Southeast, because not everybody can afford to fly out to California for California Extreme. Although, if you can, you should. And I'm talking to myself as someone someone who's never been to California Extreme. This Dyson Diversions is that's their same people, but is their take on Gen Con. And why? What I mean with that is the big thing about Gen Con is that you have a you can actually purchase tickets to play a game, and it's demoed and things like that. Now, most of the stuff at Dyson Diversions, it's free, as is a lot of the stuff at Gen Con as well. But you sign up and you can go play, or they've just got open tables and you just can check out a game from the library and play it. Well, you can jump into other people's games. They have little flags that say players wanted or I'm demoing. And there's so it was essentially just a bunch of people playing games. There was no news. There were no panels. There's nothing like that. Now, one of the things they do have that you can pay for is called Eat, Play, Win. And this is, they actually have, because they're in a hotel, obviously, the hotel catering for lunch, breakfast, lunch, or dinner. And you pay to get in that because you pay for the food, but then you also play a game. So you basically you have dinner, and it's somehow themed. If they can, they theme it to whatever the game is. And then you are taught the game, and you play it at your table, and one person at each table will win and take home the game. That is, we prepaid for some of those, so we had our meals there, and we thankfully didn't win the game we didn't like. Everybody came home with another game that's actually not even out yet, but the publisher is here in Atlanta. But the game that I wanted to talk about real quick, one of the ones that I actually really enjoyed, and it was one of those, we did not win the game, but we played it a couple times, and it's a board game. It is called Magical Athlete, and I've got a picture up on the screen from our Eat, Play, Win of Magical Athlete. And Magical Athlete, this is a race game. This is actually, I think it's a 10-year-old game, but there was a recent re-release, and it has caught on in board game circles. When I was at AGDQ last month, I saw people playing Magical Athlete. But it didn't get that much traction for the first, 10 years of its existence, but now people have heard of it. It's kind of like Among Us here in the video game space, where Among Us had been around for years, but then it suddenly rose in popularity like years after it had come out. Same thing here. Magical Athlete, you are basically racing around, one lap of a grid. But the thing is, every single racer cheats. And they all cheat in their own specific way. And so you are that racer, and you are trying to use your powers and dice rolls to get to the end. There are four races. The board flips over. And so one board is just very straight. You go to the end. The other board has like victory points that you land on. You go forward, go backward, you trip, which basically means you lose a turn. Then you flip back to the simple board, and then you go back to the main board. You do four races, and you draft four characters. They put all the character cards out. You pick which one you want, and then you determine what order, race 1, 2, 3, 4, your characters race in, and then you race against the other people. It was a lot of fun. It was the one I wish we had won. That was not a game that we had won. But I did enjoy that one and wanted to kind of bring that up because it was a lot of fun to play. There is a little bit of rules lawyering that can happen. Just be careful of that because everybody is literally cheating in the game. And some people don't want to get messed up on that. So that was one of the games that I had played. And when people are like, so what's the best game you played this weekend? I played a good handful, like probably 10 or 12 different board games that I had never played. And I couldn't tell you what most of them were. But there was that one. And the other one that I wanted to mention that I've also seen around places, I saw people playing this at AGDQ as well in the board game room, A Place for All My Books. And what this is a logic puzzle and worker placement game type of thing. So this is the aesthetic of A Place for All My Books is cozy. And this is a you are the object of the game is you have an apartment and you want books and you have a lot of books. You love books. and you want to, you need to stack these books in certain rooms and certain areas of your house. And the way that you want to stack these books, you have a little project. And those are your, you know, your cards that you can see that, you know, basically say, oh, I want, you know, four of this color books in the corners of my house. I want, you know, a stack of six high, which is the max that you can have, in two rooms of my house. And so you're trying to do actions that rearrange the books in your house to be able to do that. But then you go into the village and you're buying more books, and or you're exchanging them, or you're checking them out from the library and getting random books, or you're getting little trinkets, cool stuff or neat stuff, other neat stuff is, and those are the other neat things in your house other than the books. So it was once we kind of figured it out and got the loop down, it was one I really liked. So that's probably one we're going to pick up as well. And Dark Soccer in chat says that you never read. There actually is an action there called read a book. And it's, you know, and you basically put it, it's on your nightstand, which is a specific thing in your house. And then the nightstand is where you can go exchange and take it to the used bookstore and get new books and stuff. And no furniture, only books. That is correct, Dark Soccer. But there are cats. I actually had a kitten in my game. And, like, there was a car, like, if however many of that color of that kitten was in a room, you got an extra victory point. So it was very cute. It was very well made. We really enjoyed that. So that was the other one that I really liked. But there's just so many good games out there. And the thing that's kind of a shame is that I still haven't heard how the whole, you know, well, right now, like, it may be getting better now because the Supreme Court of the United States said that the current set of tariffs that were done by executive order are not exactly constitutional. And so there's going to be things changing about that. You may or may not. I don't think you're going to get refunded on anything. The importer of record would be the one that would get that refund, and they probably have to go to court to get it. That's a whole different topic. But that was some of the news that came out this week. But the board game industry was really sweating the tariffs because all the stuff to make board games, like little wooden pieces, China's got that, you know, got all the factories and they've got all the infrastructure. There is very little infrastructure in the U.S. to manufacture board games. Unless you want like a very standard meeple, which is the name for the little wooden figure that looks like a person. I believe it is from Catan, is like where the Settlers of Catan is where the meeple originated. And Carcassonne has meeples as well. And it's a very standard design. If you've looked at it and you've played any board games that aren't Monopoly or Life or Risk or anything, you'd recognize it. You can get meeples made in America, but not much else, unless you want, and it's still cheaper even with the tariffs to have it manufactured in China and brought over here. But gamers here, rightfully, consumers here aren't going to pay 100% more for the game just because it was manufactured in China. I haven't heard how that's going out, but there's still a lot of game designers out in the rest of the world that are be able to make board games and sell them and, you know, all that stuff. And there's a lot of great stuff out there. And there was an executive that went on LinkedIn that said that all board games nowadays are the same, so why don't we just have AI make them? And to the company's credit that he was employed under, the very next morning, the CEO called him in and said, you are going to be finding a different direction in life and not working here anymore. So kudos to that company. I can't remember the name or of the person or the company. But they're a board game publisher, and they're like, yeah, after what you posted on LinkedIn yesterday, let's not. So kudos to that. So anyway, board games, I like them. I played a lot of good ones. We actually did win a decent amount of board games from like raffles or things like that. The play and win section, which is different from the e-play win, you can check out a board game and you play it, and they scan your badge, and at the end, you could win it. And we actually did win one of the games that we did play that we actually liked. It took us about an hour to figure it out. Like, these are long games, and we played it for about an hour. It took about an hour and a half. And it is called Draft, Write, and Record is the name of the game, I believe. And it is you are making a band. It's a music band. But you are drafting cards, so it's a drafting game. Drafting cards and playing them, which I believe Dominion is also considered a drafting game. So it's kind of in that vein. And basically trying to get more victory points, but you're, you know, do that by having certain things that'll release an album or release a single, or you're filling out your band members, and if the colors match on certain parts of your band members, you get an extra thing, and you go on tour and stuff like that. We actually wound up winning that game, so you know, we'll actually get to dive into it a little bit more and try it. So no, I love this convention. There are a lot of other board games, smaller board game events all around the country, all around the world, really. So if that's something you're interested in, it is a really great value. You get a weekend pass or a day pass. If you're here in the Atlanta area, there's also another one called Atlanta Game Fest. It takes place like 3 or 4 times a year. It's not just once a year. And you get to learn board games, and people are so wanting to teach board games. There are people there. There was one person there that basically sat there with the game Root, which is extremely complex. It's not Twilight Imperium or Axis and Allies complex, but it's more complex than the other games I was talking about. And you really need to like have somebody who really knows the game teach it to you, and you still won't understand it until you've played it like 3 or 4 times. But there was somebody there that was just playing Root, and he was teaching Root, and he was continually setting it up and and teaching people, because people... There's a lot of people in board games, especially the ones that go to these events, that want more people playing board games. And I'm sure there is gatekeeping at some point in the hobby, but you don't see it. At least at the events I've gone to, which include Gen Con once, I didn't see that much gatekeeping of the hobby. People want you to understand why board games are popular now. And Zemagilev sent deck builder games. Yeah, Dominion's a deck builder game. This one, you're not building a deck in draft, write, and record, so it's more card drafting. And I'm trying to do this off the top of my head. And I've been there all weekend. We actually had a hotel room down there this weekend. So I, like I said, I've been gone since Friday and basically just been down there, and we slept at night, and that was about it. So yeah. Podcore says, I need to get up to Gen Con sometime. Indy is pretty close to me. It's definitely an experience. It's definitely a thing. The thing about Gen Con that is different from other, like if you've gone to like a video game convention, like a PAX or whatever, is that Gen Con, they do want to sell you the games. So even if you go through the exhibit hall, yes, it's an exhibit hall, but it's not like an E3 or a PAX where they're like, hey, play our game and then go home and buy it. They will demo the game for you and be like, hey, you can buy it right now. We've got it to store, you know, show special, and you buy it right now. And then you will have to eventually go over to the place that sells the big board game backpacks, because you're going to need one to carry all the games that you bought, because you're like, oh, I'll try this. Oh, I like this game. So, yeah, and they teach you the game. That usually like the game designer is there to help teach you and things like that. And SJR Man even says, sometimes the rules and setup for games are exhausting at times. Watching someone demo it or watch a video of a start setup of a game is easier than reading paragraphs of rules. And a lot of board game companies have started including like a QR code that takes you to a YouTube video on their instruction manual. Now, some of these are hit and miss. You can also find, if you can find a YouTuber that really does, kind of like the kind of setup and tutorial that you like, see if they actually were able to do a demo of the game. And they're the ones that get the review copies. Is the company, the board game companies, publishers will send those YouTubers a review copy. They will make a video teaching you how to play. And then a lot of times the publisher will then link to their video, and that's how they get more views. It's a big symbiotic relationship there. But there is also an app that we got to use pretty recently called Dized, D-I-Z-E-D. And it's a website as well, but you can get an app for Android or iOS. And it also does a tutorial, and it's unfortunately a little bit AI generated, I believe, because at least, you know, one of the voices, they started mispronouncing some things a couple times. I'm like, y'all used generative AI in this, didn't you? But We still used it because we were already halfway through the tutorial. But what they actually do is they walk you through and they will even tell you, okay, how many players do you have? Here's exactly how you set up the board for your situation. Okay, you just took a turn. Which turn did you take? Okay, you exactly did that turn. You know, so now we're going to explain to you that. And it was a really good walkthrough, except for the fact that I think they used AI narration. And that's a shame. I don't know. And I don't know if it's just text to speech, you know, kind of like a Siri, or if it actually was really, you know, a generative AI creating the script. I don't know. So that's also there, and that helps you teach the games. And they've got a pretty good growing list of games on that. So anyway, board games are cool. I like board games. I know that people probably come here for a video game show, but board games are really up and coming, and I'm going to talk about my love of board games as much as I can get away with here on the show, because I have lots of other interests. Anyway, one of my other interests, though, is virtual reality. And I am not, if you haven't been around long, you can probably see that I do have, like, VR devices, and I have had them for a while. I have been what has been called a VR evangelist for a while. I was one of the first podcasters to get into the first Oculus Rift in, like, 2013, 2014. I had an early thing. So I talk about my love of VR. I also have never said that VR is going to take over the world. And I said I actually would have arguments somewhat, or they would try to debate me and I would win. Humble brag. But they would say, oh, you know, in 5 years, nobody's going to be playing a game on a monitor. Everybody's going to be playing VR gaming. And they were saying this like 6 years ago. And I'm like, no, that's not the case. It's not going to happen. And I was right. Unfortunately, I was right even more than I wished, because VR gaming has kind of died a little bit. And even Meta has pulled back their VR teams. And it's looking so far to be a fad that has died. And that I didn't want. I didn't think it was going to take over everything, but I also didn't want it to die. So anyway, let's talk about the thing that came out for virtual reality, kind of, sort of, and I'm using my quotey fingers. And that is, this week, the Nintendo finally released the Nintendo Switch Online Virtual Boy Collection. And here's the thing. So they released on the Nintendo Switch the Virtual Boy emulation. So like they have for NES, SNES, blah, blah, blah. But right now, as of February 22nd, 2026, you can only access this in a VR device. Now, can you use it without a VR, one of the Nintendo approved VR devices? Yes. Is it usable? No. So what they have done is you turn on the app and it will say, okay, now that you have turned on the app, put this Switch inside of a VR device. Now, one thing I will say is there is no sensor to know if you've actually done it. So you can even say, oh, I've done that. And then you can see on the screen exactly like what they actually show. But what they want you to do is either, if you have a Switch 1, get the Nintendo Labo VR kit that you may have already had like I do, and you can use that. Or what they'd probably prefer you do, because they get money now, is you can buy either the cardboard Nintendo VR kit for the Switch 2, or you can spend over $100 and get a hunk of plastic that looks exactly like the Virtual Boy and play it that way. And so hear me, Loki from formerly of Orange Lounge Radio, said that anybody that bought this was a problem with the industry, and so I am the problem. So I have my Virtual Boy Nintendo Switch Online version with me right now. It does not come with a controller, so you're still supposed to use your own controller. But what you do is you take a Switch. You take a Switch 2 at right now. You take off your Joy-Cons. Now, theoretically, you have already had it turned on, and it says, go ahead and put me in, you know, and it'll say, all right, Once you load up the app, it'll say, okay, now you put me in. Then you take the Virtual Boy. And this part, I haven't been able to really figure out, like, the easiest way to do this. But you need to take the... There's two little hand holes on the side. And you need to pry them upwards. I'm going to try to do this without destroying my desk. So you push them up, and it opens up on the top. Then it closes on you when you twist it for the camera. Because this is great radio, right? All right. Then you take your switch. You hold it the right angle. Right side up. And you slot it in the front. And then you close the top. Now you're ready to play. And then you use your actual Joy-Cons, and then you can actually go in and play the games and see them. There was a question earlier. Fifth Dream asks, are headaches included in the NSO sub? No, the headaches are not included. They come free. And what I mean by that is that it does recreate the entire Virtual Boy experience, including the headaches. Like, it did not fix any of that. It is the actual experience that you remember. ZenMonkey11 asks, can I put my Switch into Google Cardboard? Most likely, yes. Do I know that for a fact? No. Do I believe you can't do it? I believe you could. If Google Cardboard... if Google Cardboard allowed, like, if the Nintendo Labo stuff worked with Google Cardboard, then this will. Okay? So I'm not going to say definitively 100%, but it might. And I believe there's no reason it shouldn't. Because, like I said, it doesn't detect if you're in anything. And I'm not... And if you have this in a dock, it immediately tells you take it out of the dock. So when you go into the Virtual Boy... And you go, and I'm holding up to the screen, the thing. That is what you see, and that is how it what it's basically showing is it's showing two eyes. They're about, only 50% of the size of the screen, so it doesn't go all the way to the edge of the screen. And then, a Google Cardboard probably would work for that, but I don't know that for sure. So if I open up a game. You can barely see it here on the screen. It's asking for automatic pause, which it does. Like, basically, all the Virtual Boy games, like, at the beginning will ask you if you want to have it stop you for 10 minutes after every 10 minutes or something. You can still play it, even if you don't have it in something, but it's going to be really small. It's going to be a little bit warped. But when you're actually in the Virtual Boy, it'll actually... if you're actually in a Google Cardboard or a Nintendo Labo or a Virtual Boy or something like that, then it will actually then you'd be able to see it with your eyes. Somebody asked, Esther or Matt, so wait, you got a legit headache. It actually did give me a headache for a little bit because the Virtual Boy, at least this, you're using the Virtual Boy just like you used it before. You were leaning down into it. You were kind of just playing that way. It does block out all the other light. So, like, I'm looking in there, and all I see is this. It does look pretty fun. It looks like I remember. And then you come out of it, and even when, like, I don't have all my key lights on, wow, it is bright. So I, unfortunately, could never get an original. I could never actually get an original game, Virtual Boy, that worked. I could buy one that was broken, but I don't want to try to fix it. Now, one of the things that is interesting that they have done, and I greatly appreciated, is that they did migrate the Nintendo Switch notifications into VR. So I was playing a game in Virtual Boy, and Mike Deft in our chat came online. And started playing a game. And so I actually saw a VR, like in the red VR, Mike Deft, came online and stuff. So I still got notifications for that. So I did think that was kind of funny that they still got all the system notifications to work. Then when you want to end the game, you basically, you go out and it's like, you, there's a close button. You actually have to like actually tap the close button on the touchscreen for it to go back into normal mode. So, yeah, and the notification actually shows at the top. It shows at the top of the screen. That was pretty cool. Now, they do not have yet the ability to change the color. There is red filters in the eye in here. You can take that out, and then it's no long. It just shows whatever the screen is showing. I have not taken that filter out yet because they have not changed, let you change the color. One thing I will also say is that like this is the only way you can play it. But if you watch any of the videos about this, it works in docked mode because they were able to capture the game. There's the a UI works in docked mode. It works like and it just shows one version of the screen and all that stuff. And that is not available yet. My optimistic hope. And this is me being an optimist, which I have learned is a terrible thing to be as a gaming podcaster. I'm supposed to be cynical and hating of everything. My optimistic view is that after all of the Virtual Boy games have been released, which is going to be this year, at least all the ones they're going to put on the service are out, which will be by the end of the year, including the two unreleased ones. And possibly when they stop selling this thing, they will push an update that allows you to play them in docked mode or without a VR headset. They obviously have that built in. It's already there. It's already working because that's what all of the demos in the Nintendo Direct on their YouTube channel, in the Nintendo Switch news thing, that's where they all came from. So it's there. They just don't have it turned on right now. And my optimistic view is that they're going to try to get as many people to buy this $100 piece of plastic as possible. And then once they feel that they're not going to get that much more sales out of this, they're going to do a patch update and you're going to be able to play them without it. That's my optimistic hope. Because Mike Def says, I'd love to be able to buy it, but we can't in Mexico because there's no My Nintendo store here or any official way to get it. Somebody else, Mike, mentioned like there was like the line for like the baby Mario toys was longer than the Virtual Boy one. I'm like, of course it is. Like, why wouldn't it be? So Dark Decia says, I was wondering about the color thing. I think other emulators can do that. Oh, there's absolutely other emulators you can find. But yeah, they're going to be adding that. That is a feature that's coming soon. It is not there today. Esther Man asks, is it worth $100? Probably not. Am I upset that I got it? No, because it's a neat conversation piece. I'm going to actually put it out in the house with the googly eyes. And I never got to really play a lot of the Virtual Boy games. Like I said, I never was able to get a Virtual Boy that worked, and I wasn't able to get the cartridges. Or I probably could have gotten the cartridges had I got one work, but I never tried. So it is nice to be able to have this and have the experience preserved with modern hardware, because this is all you can't just do game preservation on the good stuff. You have to do the game preservation on the bad stuff, too, because it is a big part of our history. And not everything that came out in the 90s was great in games. There was a lot of crap. And to a lot of people, the Virtual Boy was one of them. But it should be preserved anyway, because it is very hard to explain what the Virtual Boy is like to somebody who's never seen one. And they wouldn't get a chance to see one unless they happened to be at a convention where somebody might have had one there, or they may have a friend who's a collector who has one that works. It is very, it's very unlikely that a lot of people are going to experience what this is like. And they have done a good job of making it very much like the original. Now, yes, I understand. They didn't give a controller with it. They just have you using your Joy-Cons as the controller, and you hold it. So they didn't include a controller here in the Virtual Boy accessory. But other than that, the actual feeling of literally the headaches, still there. It's been preserved. And Tiger Claw says it's all subjective. A video game that some don't like might be a video game that someone does like. The Wario game that's on here, people are like, yeah, it's one of the best Wario games ever made. It's just, you know, you can only play it in red in Virtual Boy. Esther and Matt says, I always tried renting one from Blockbuster, but someone kept renting it out. I do remember seeing that case. It was massive, because that's why Dark Soccer says it's in a protective carrying case from Blockbuster. I remember that. I actually, so it came out. This is my, I'm old. The Virtual Boy came out when I was working at Blockbuster Video. That one summer that I was working at Blockbuster Video. So I was the one who literally set up the Virtual Boy display at my Blockbuster Video. So I was the first person at my Blockbuster Video to play it, because I was the one tasked with coming in and setting it up. So I remember all that. I did not get one because I was, it was between high school and college. So to say I was broke was an understatement, because I was getting paid $5.15 an hour at that job. And I was not full time. And it was only for a summer, so no, I couldn't afford a Virtual Boy at the time, and my parents weren't going to buy me one. So, yeah, they were not cheap. But I did get to try it at the time. And then it's always kind of like, it was always one of those, like, if I came across a Virtual Boy that worked for sale, I would think long and hard about buying it. I never came across one for sale that worked. They were all broken. And I'm like, I'm not interested. Dark Soccer asks, would I still consider an original? Probably not anymore, because I have the same experience. So it would really depend. It would really depend on price, because like I said, I did just pay $100 or whatever for this facsimile that I can put a Switch in. If you have a Switch 1 and not a Switch 2, you actually have to get a little, you have to get a Phillips head screwdriver, take out four screws. They have a different mounting bracket for the Switch, the original Nintendo Switch, that is different from the Switch 2. So you actually have to take it apart and put this bracket on it, and then you can put a Switch 1 or a Switch OLED or something. The OLED probably would look really good, because the blacks are black. Yeah. Tarkle says, I remember when I used to work at Blockbuster, we used to have a kiosk for PS1, and after me and the employees finished doing our work, we played some fighting games on it for a while. While still on the clock, I'm going to tell your manager. And you know we were up all night. We didn't do that, unfortunately. Well, we didn't have it in mind, because I was also before the PS1 era, so this would have been the summer of 1995. Because I'm 29, remember? So this would have been like the summer of 1995. And we didn't... I think the Virtual Boy was the first kiosk we had that actually had a game in it. We didn't have like a Super Nintendo like in-store kiosk at the time. That was not a thing that happened yet at Blockbuster. That was very much a later thing. Tiger Claw says, you didn't leave at midnight, which, by the way, was the deadline to get your tapes in, if you remember. You were there maybe a few hours until while the store was clean. I don't remember staying for a few hours when I closed. It was about an hour, hour and a half, because you vacuumed and you... let me ask you this. This is going to be the one thing that's like, this is Blockbuster stuff, right? Tiger Claw. Were you there before or after they changed the rule about the bottom two shelves having to be at a 45-degree angle? Because when I worked there, the bottom two shelves had to, all the tapes had to be at a 45-degree angle so they were able to be seen. I believe they got rid of that rule sometime in the late 90s, early 2000s. But what would happen is people would go through and be like, huh, this bottom shelf is, you know, I'm going to help. They're all kind of like, they're not flush against the wall. I'm going to help. And they pushed them all in. So we had to go after closing and re-push the bottom two rows out for 45 seconds. Tuckle says, I don't know, my time at Blockbuster was during the 90s. So did you have them at 45-degree angle or not? Because that was the original rule, was were the bottom two shelves at a 45-degree angle? Because that's what we had to do. Dark Saga says, why not have just built the shelves to accommodate? I don't know. I didn't make the decisions. I was just the minimum wage worker grunt. And they said, do this. Dargle says, I don't know. I was never told about that stuff. Well, that was one of the things. That was one of the closing duties. Like, it was, and I can't remember what the phrase was. I actually still have my employee handbook from Blockbuster Video. I could look it up. Yeah, that was part of like vacuum, and then like you had to re-alphabetize because people would move stuff, and then also those bottom two shelves having to be 45 degree angle. Podcoach says, I still have my Blockbuster uniform shirt somewhere. I still have somewhere, and I think it's actually up there on the shelf. I have my old name tag, and I've shown it on the show before. Anyway, hey, I made it through almost the entire show and never talked about the news, the big, huge news. So obviously we're not going to do an Overclock Remix break. Sorry about that. We're not going to take calls. I'll get to Jamie in just a second. But, hey, let's talk about this, because if I don't, people can be like, why didn't you talk about this? IGN reports that Microsoft gaming CEO Phil Spencer, who's been at Microsoft since he joined as an intern in 1988, and with Xbox since the software giant launched his first console in 2001, is retiring. Sources familiar with the matter who are not authorized to speak publicly confirmed IGN. Spencer's retirement is effective on Monday, February 23rd, so tomorrow. Meanwhile, Xbox president Sarah Bond, long thought by many both inside and outside of Microsoft to be Spencer's heir apparent, has resigned. The new CEO of Microsoft Gaming will be Asha Sharma, currently the president of Microsoft's core AI product. Finally, Xbox Game Studios head Matt Booty, who has the best name, is being promoted to chief content officer and will work closely with Sharma. Satya Nadella, the Microsoft CEO, said in an email sent out to Microsoft staff, quote, I want to thank Phil for his extraordinary leadership and partnership over 38 years at Microsoft, including 12 years leading gaming. Phil has helped transform what we do and how we do it, unquote. So Spencer, in an email to Microsoft staff, said in part, quote, last fall, according to this was last fall, is when he made this decision. I shared with Satya that I was thinking about stepping back and starting the next chapter of my life. From that moment, we aligned on approaching this transition with intention, ensuring stability and strengthening the foundation we've built. Xbox has always been more than a business. It's a vibrant community of players, creators, and teams who care deeply about what we build and how we build it. And it deserves a thoughtful, deliberate plan for the road ahead. Today marks an exciting new chapter for Microsoft Gaming as Asha Sharma steps into the role of CEO, and I want to be the first to welcome her to this incredible team. Working with her over the past several months has given me tremendous confidence. She brings genuine curiosity, clarity, and a deep commitment to understanding players, creators, and the decisions that shape our future. We know this is an important moment for our fans, partners, and teams, and we're committed to getting it right. I'll remain in an advisory role through the summer to support a smooth handoff, end quote. So what I will say is that there is one thing that is correct. A company the size of Microsoft does not make these type of decisions overnight. There is no way that they make these decisions overnight. So I fully believe that Asha Sharma was tagged to be the new CEO of Xbox Gaming for several months. Did it possibly... Was it originally possibly planned to be tomorrow? Probably not, but I don't know. Sharma is a former VP of Product and Engineering at Meta and former Instacart COO, who is also a board member of the Home Depot. She joined Microsoft in 2024. In her email to Microsoft staff, she wrote in part, quote, my first job is simple. Understand what makes this work and protect it. That starts with three commitments. First, great games. Everything begins here. We must have great games beloved by players before we do anything. Unforgettable characters, stories that make us feel, innovative gameplay, and creative excellence. We will empower our studios, invest in iconic franchises, and back bold new ideas. Not hold back. Back bold new ideas. We will take risks. We will enter new categories and markets where we can add real value, grounded in what players care about most. I promoted Matt Booty in our honor of this commitment. He understands the craft and challenges of building great games and has led teams that deliver award-winning work and has earned the trust of game developers across the industry. And then kind of goes on revisiting the core of Xbox and also does say... quote, as monetization and AI evolve and influence this future, we will not chase short-term efficiency or flood our ecosystem with soulless AI slop. Games are and always will be art crafted by humans and created with the most innovative technology provided by us, end quote. So it's going to be soulful AI slop instead. It's not going to be soulless. It's going to have soul. It's going to be AI slop with soul. There's more statements in here and stuff like that. Some people have been like, well, she didn't come from gaming. it's not going to work. She didn't come from gaming. She came from other things. Reggie Fils-Aimé was at Panda Express before he got to Nintendo. Like, we all love Reggie, right? He wasn't in gaming until he started at Nintendo, and we all liked him. And the thing about, like, the AI stuff, there's also a thought out there that possibly Microsoft is realizing that all in on AI isn't working out. And they're doing everything they can to make it work out, but right now it's not working out. And so maybe they're trying to reprioritize. Maybe. As Jerry Matt says, we're making a happy Skynet, not an evil one. I want to be cautiously optimistic because sometimes a new voice that's not from the gaming world is what you need to make things work. People who aren't in the gaming world also can mess things up, but there is something to be said about the outsider that brings in other perspectives and, you know, experience from other successful things into this world. And when I say this world, the gaming world, basically. And I'm hopeful that something good happens out of this, because Xbox has not been doing well recently, and they've made some decisions. And one of the things that Asha Sharma said on one of the social media sites is somebody was like, bring back your exclusives. Don't put everything on PlayStation. And Asha actually responded, I hear you. And now, like, this is a way for Asha Sharma to say, you know what? Yeah, we did put things on PlayStation. Now we're not. I'm going to make the decision that we're not, instead of saying, well, Phil Spencer's flip-flopping. Now they have the license to say, you know what? We're going to pull things back from PlayStation. We're not going to put as much on PlayStation as Phil Spencer was going to. Because now, you know, Asha Sharma can be like, I'm the reason we're not doing it. And we're not like, well, Phil Spencer, you're flip-flopping. You said this, and now you're doing this. Now it's a new person. FitDream says, I couldn't even tell you what games are branded Xbox anymore. It's usually the ones that are branded Xbox Game Studios. But, you know, those are in splash screens. There's not that many, like, boxes, like game boxes that you can look at. And Questbus says, the chief architect for the Series X said last year that AI was definitely going to be part of the next Xbox console and that they're working with AMD on silicon to support it. And, you know, well, that's because all the AI companies say everything's going to be AI. Because what choice are you going to have? This week or last week, it was Western Digital came out. They make hard drives. And they said, yeah, we have no more consumer hard drives for 2026. Seven companies bought our entire production run of hard drives for 2026. Three of those companies, their agreement goes through 2027. Two of those companies, of those three, have them through 2028. And Western Digital's like, yeah, we don't have any hard drives anymore. Like, we're not manufacturing hard drives for anybody but those seven customers for the rest of the year. And you may be, like, sitting there going, well, I'm a gamer. I use solid state. I don't use hard drives. It's more for your NAS. Like, a lot of people, like, when they have, like, a Plex server, that's not solid state that's running the movies off their Plex server. It's actual platter hard drives. Like, my local storage is a Western Digital, and it's multiple terabytes of hard drives. I can't get Western Digital hard drives if one breaks and I need to replace it in the RAID array. Not going to happen. And Tarkalo says they have NASs that support SSDs now, but that's not the cost of, it wasn't in the past, the cost-effective option. And because he asked, does it use SSDs? No, data centers use hard drives because they don't need the speed of an SSD like a gamer does. And so it's the hard drives, the actual, like, platter hard drives, the HDDs, not the SSDs. But also there was another CEO that said, yeah, most consumer electronics companies are going to go bankrupt this year. The small ones, because a lot of devices, a lot of consumer electronics use RAM. There is no RAM anymore. And so you're going to see, it's going to be a lot harder to buy a lot of consumer electronics, which includes TVs and even like some kitchen appliances. And I know you're going to be like, I don't like the smart appliances. And I'm like, I know you don't, but they're the only ones that are being made now. And in order for their electronics to work, they need to have memory. And we have a shortage of RAM, not because we don't have enough factories making RAM. It's because a handful of companies have literally pre-ordered the entire production run for that factory. That factory no longer makes anything but what that company has already paid them for. And Tiger Claw says, you need SSDs for faster reads and writes, something most gamers and people in video production require. Yes, but once you're done with that video, you want to store it somewhere, and it used to be cheaper to store it on a regular hard drive because you don't need the fast speed at that point. I promise you, you do not need an SSD to watch a movie. Promise you 100%. Editing video, sure. But then once you're done, slap it over to the hard drive, and that frees up the space on your SSD for your next video. So you can store and retrieve, then work on them, and then put them back. And it used to be a more economical option. All right. So let me actually do this. So here's what we're going to do. I know I'm running a little bit long, but you know what? I still want to hear, because Dark Soccer has been in chat talking to us and saying stuff. So I wanted to get her real quick thoughts at kind of a very basically quick, highlight of what you're going to hear about the Xbox topic on Orange Lounge Radio 2DX. So that's coming up next on the Voice Geeks Network. Orange Lounge Radio 2DX, three people talking about all things in geek culture, not just video games and board games, for much longer than I do. Jamie, are you there?
I am. Hello. Do I not have my camera on? What's wrong with me?
Uh-oh. You'll get it.
We're back to the VTuber. That's it.
Ah.
I'm kidding. Hi. We have Midna.
Midna. There.
Yeah,
there.
I locked her in here.
Ooh. I lock my cats out. App and Widget are probably right outside the door. But I don't let them in here because I know it'd be great. Like, everybody be like, oh, that's great. You're going to clip it. But then they will, they're kittens. Well, they're over a year old. But they
Midna's
still
an
want
old lady.
It. Yeah. So, like, when they're older, maybe. But, like, right now they're like, oh, we're in here. Let me go on top of the shelves. And I have to constantly, like, stop them. And that does not make for good radio. So
let me head bump your microphone.
Yeah.
Now, Midna exactly. will do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. But right now she's just halfway snoozing and then mm-hmm. licking her butt like
yeah.
cats do.
Yeah, absolutely. So you were saying a lot of stuff
feelings.
About the feelings about the X, and I know you're going to go further in depth on Orange Lounge Radio 2DX most likely, but give us kind of like, you were saying a lot of good stuff and I was like, maybe she wants to actually say those. So what are your thoughts on the big shakeup at Xbox?
Honestly, if he's ready to retire, good for him. Mm-hmm. It's time for new blood.
Yeah.
If you've, I have been with a company that I work at for 11 years, mm-hmm. and I was at the mortgage company I used to work at for 10. Mm-hmm. And there's something that happens when you are with a company for a while, and it's called, well, I don't really have a word for it. It's a bit complacent. It's partly complacency. Mm-hmm. It's part influence by past experience. Mm-hmm. It's a, like a sort of a blinder almost, you know, that's gonna, and as much as you try to be innovative and look beyond it, eventually when you're there long enough, mm-hmm. you sort of get set and it's time for somebody new.
Yeah.
And honestly, as a person who possesses, you know, the internal bits that match mm-hmm. the new CEO, I want to see more women.
Yeah.
In,
I do too.
You know, I mean, and again, any woman is a woman. Mm-hmm. I am still happy to see a woman taking over this position.
Yep.
We need her to stand strong and stand firm. Mm-hmm. We need her to make a decision and see it through. And if there is evidence that this decision was a poor decision, she needs to be flexible enough to turn on it and admit that she made a mistake. The public loves transparency, or at least the illusion of transparency.
Yes.
And also, I think just because you come from an AI development field does not necessarily mean that you are going to, you'll bring experience from having worked with it, but you will not bring that business practice if it does not apply to the company as a whole. And I would think that Phil Spencer was savvy enough to know that whoever takes his place would need to be able to see around, see around corners to be able to anticipate mm-hmm. what's going to be on the other side of that corner and know whether you're safe to walk forward or whether you just need to pause and take a look, you know?
Yeah.
So
I am more cautiously optimistic. There's a bunch of people that are just like, okay, Xbox just died. And I'm like, no, not yet.
There's always going to be naysayers. Yeah. You know, they're like, everything new is terrible. Yeah. I want it to be the same for... If you wanted things to be the same forever, we'd still have, 12-year-olds working in mines, okay?
Yeah.
And we'd have a 80-hour work week.
Yeah. No, and I will also say, I was also the company I was at two companies ago now. I was there for over 10 years, and, it was the greatest job I ever had. And, probably when I was 3 or 4 years into it, I'm like, why would anybody leave this job? This is a great job, great, great people, great management. Why would anybody ever leave? And people would leave. And I'm like, well, I don't get it. And then when I got to about year 10, things had changed enough. Even though some of the same people were there, things had changed enough. I was like, I need to go. I need to change. I need to I was too much on. It was basically I wanted to work with people who didn't know me. And
yeah,
you know,
that's, I get that.
Yeah, because at my job, I was essentially put on kind of a pedestal. Like, oh, you should always listen. I was put on this pedestal, and I needed to go somewhere where I wasn't on that pedestal. Unfortunately, the place I went to next, my reputation preceded me, and I was put back on that pedestal, and I did not live up to expectations, which is why I'm at the place I'm at now, where nobody had really heard of me until I joined. And I'm much happier. Yeah. I'm, much less stress, making a little bit less money. But you know what? Happiness is valued more in this household than money.
I absolutely agree with that. Thankfully, with where I work, it's easy to get moved around to another department where no one knows who you are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I've been fortunate in that. And But going back to, I think it's also good that perhaps not everybody who's there at Xbox knows who she is because, mm-hmm. They haven't interacted with her department. Mm-hmm. So that's a plus. Yeah. She gets to sort of get the good stuff to come with it, hopefully, and be able to write a new story.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tiger Claw does ask a question, and I actually touched on this a little bit last week as well. Do you see a future where all three consoles are still going to be around? Because eventually we'll live in a future where games will be streamed directly from our TVs without hardware. As internet gets faster and faster, we'll get to a point where game streaming will be the same level of quality as a hardware console. That is exactly why a lot of AI companies are buying all the RAM and all the hard drives, and they might start buying all the GPUs because they want to make data centers to do that, so it is more economical for you to pay them a monthly fee than for you to actually have the computer at your house. They would love it if the computer was a luxury. If that was something that the general public could not afford a console in their home because they have made it so expensive because they have all the parts. So instead of buying a console, you pay them a monthly fee and they have all that for you instead of you actually having things in your home. That is their end goal. Do I think they're going to hit it? I don't know.
And Shadow makes a great point that you don't have any rights to the software or hardware that way.
Mm-mm. Nope.
Now, here's what I see happening, because mm-hmm. we've seen it happen before. I think that it's going to get a little bit beyond out of hand, mm-hmm. and there's going to be some lawsuits. It's going to happen. Mm-hmm. There are going to be... something associated with perhaps, monopoly, trust, mm-hmm. I don't care what they want to name it as, but it's going to be along those lines. It's basically by buying up the supply, you're driving up price. And mm-hmm. that, if I do remember correctly, violates a number of laws on a national level. So... And if these companies are functioning from outside of the U.S., other companies, then I think that we're going to look at, maybe a tariff or shipping hold or some sort of hold situation. Mm-hmm. But in this case, it'll be something that's justified to protect the consumer market.
Yep. What else are you going to be talking
consumer
about?
Consumer law is a big thing.
Yeah.
I bet Canada will do it before we do.
Probably. Or the EU.
Yeah, they're Canada's consumer laws, especially around technology, pretty hardcore.
So what else are you going to be talking about on Orange Lounge Radio 2DX tonight?
Probably food. I'm kidding. No, I'm not. So we have some talk about some Discord shenanigans and some hacksers about shoes.
Are they $300? Oh my gosh,
let's buy them. They might be. I don't know. Probably. There's a little bit more Sony news and not a happy one. And actually kind of a follow-up about something that we had talked about earlier in regards to one-handed controllers.
All right. Orange Lounge Radio 2DX is up next. Thanks so much, Jamie.
You're quite welcome. Be well.
You too. That is it for me. I will be back next Sunday night, hopefully starting actually on time and not 5 minutes late. Thank you to the OL Army for allowing me to go 5 minutes or, later here. So I will be back next Sunday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, right here at the Voice Geeks Network Twitch channel, twitch.tv/VogNetwork. Come join us, interact with the show directly, or you can join us on our Discord server, vognetwork.com/Discord. Yes, there's Discord shenanigans going on. I understand that. So if you want to opt out and not do that, I completely understand. I will say we are not an age-gated server, so you actually do not have to provide any information to access our server, unlike some other servers that you may be in. But I completely understand if you're not interested in partaking in Discord right now. Completely, completely valid. So you can also find me on Blue Sky at BobbyBlackWolf.com or on Instagram at BobbyBlackWolf. But we would not, you know, so you can find me anywhere there. If you like the show, tell a friend. If you hate the show, tell an enemy. I don't care. Just tell someone. The show is not for everybody, but it may be for somebody who does not know about it yet, but we would not be able to make the live show work without the help of the chatters who go above and beyond and support the channel. I just did the company taxes, you know, filed them last week. Can't file the state taxes yet because Georgia ain't ready to accept my tax returns, but the federal, they accepted them, so we're good there. So we're legal for another year. But thank you so much to the people who go above and beyond. You being here is all we ask, but this does help us, you know, kind of be legal and keep the lights on and keep ourselves protected. So thank you so much, Fifth Dream, for resubscribing, saying for so many months. I think it's 71 months is what it says. Orange Wright resubscribed. Thank you so much. Mike Deft resubscribed, saying Bobby Winterwolf. Winner, as in I won. A winner is me. Thank you so much. Esther and a match, cheer 250 bits. That got us a hype train. Sean 322, cheer 200, but missed the hype train. But hype, they reset after 1 hour, by the way. So, hey, Orange Lounge Radio 2DX is coming up. So if you want to get on the next hype train, we have it set. So they wait an hour. There's an hour cooldown on the hype train. And then Dark Sakura gifted a sub to Zen Monkey 11. Thank you so much. For that, I will go ahead and hit the button and make sure that you can actually hear it. There it is. There's my exit music. Try not to get a headache playing some Virtual Boy. It's very easy to do even now. And try a board game. I'll see you next week. Bye.
A winner is you. The views and opinions expressed are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and are not necessarily the opinions of
the VOG Network, people who need to hire new voiceover guys,
or your mom. Although if Bobby said it, it really should be. This has been a production of Bobby Blackwolf Studios.